Hello and welcome to another edition of Whitlock and the Vaughn, a fantasy basketball podcast presented to you by Fanball. I am Aaron Whitlock, of course, along with me, John Corver Vaughn.
Oh yeah.
Welcome to another edition. We're ready to break it down. Sorry the Portland Trailblazers couldn't be here with us today. Ooh. Pour one out, sound the cannon, play the taps. It's all over for them. But we still have 15, what do we got? We got 15 teams still hanging around at this point? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Portland's been the only one that's been eliminated, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was thinking, for a second, I don't know why I was thinking San Antonio. San Antonio is going to be eliminated, but they're not there yet. So, we're breaking down Tuesday and Wednesday today. Let's get right into it. I've got Tuesday. We've got 58 viable players in action. That is it. That's all. We're going to whittle it.
You counted up the tally?
I did. I counted. Well, I created my own little Google sheet with my own basically little lobby. Wait, since it's not available to me.
Okay, so 58 players available or like have that's like 57, 58. Have players 57 and 58 played at all?
58 that have truly actually logged some minutes. Logged, I did not count guys who have
logged meaningful minutes.
Yes, I did not count guys at 3K good. Who have not got any minutes.
That's good homework.
58,
yeah.
But we're going to whittle it down to about 12 or 13.
Okay.
Starting at point guard, Ben Simmons.
Hmm.
No player priced above 9,000 that I like more than Benjamin Simmons on Tuesday,
wow.
Which is not something I would have imagined myself saying 2 weeks ago. Scored 51 or more fan ball points in all four games in this series. The return of Joel Embiid has not slowed him down at all, especially offensively. Coming back home with a chance to close the series, I see a double-double as more or less assured. Miami's had no answer for him. To make matters worse for them, Josh Richardson is questionable now, which would kill them defensively if he's not able to go.
That would hurt them a lot.
I think
he's been like top 20 defensive player in the league and the playoffs so far.
Absolutely. I think Simmons is the most bankable stud available on Tuesday. Moving on, we've got Terry Rozier at 7,700. He's been much better at home in this series. Not terribly surprising for a young player who's seeing some of his first major minutes and first real minutes in a playoff series, of course. He scored 23 points in both games at the Garden so far, good for 42 and 34 fan ball points. The trip to Milwaukee was not kind for him. I think he gets back on track here, though. 8 or more assists in each of his last 3 games. We just need that offense to return, which, like I said, he's had when he's been in Boston so far. That's really it for the point guards for me. The value options at point guard are brutal. I'm not touching them. If you absolutely felt like you had to, which you don't, the best bets would probably be either Malcolm Brogdon or Patty Mills. But just to be clear, I don't recommend rostering either of those guys. Just have not been good relative to their price. At shooting guard, I don't love the price, but God, the way Chris Middleton's shooting the ball, I can't not put him on this list. 61% from the field, 62% from beyond the arc. With an average of 16 shot attempts per game, just ridiculous. He's had 41 or more fan ball points in 3 of the 4 games in this series, including 56 in Boston in game 1. Looking for 47 to hit his value, so he's been either there or close in 3 of the 4 games. Only one real stinker so far, and that was that game 2 where he didn't make a shot until the second quarter. I don't think he'd hardly attempted any until the second quarter. It was an odd flow how that broke down. I've been playing with the lineups. Like I said, I set up this Google Sheets, and I've been kind of playing around with how I'm going to set up my Tuesday. There's definitely ways to get him in there along with some other studs, but I'm playing around with some of these other guys at shooting guard who are a little less pricey, including Jaylen Brown,
ooh,
who is beginning to make me a believer. Needs 40 fan ball points to hit 5.5 times his value. 3 times in the series, he's gone 35, 37, and then he had 51. I know a couple of those are a little under, but not too far, especially in the playoffs where guys who are coming close even can be hard to find. That cost could change a little by Sunday. I don't really love if he gets up above 8K, I'd rather go Chris Middleton. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Here's an interesting one. We've got Marco Bellinelli at 5,000 and Dwayne Wade at 5,100. Little pattern I've noticed emerging here as we've gone through this series. So game 1. Belly goes for 36.5. Wade only goes for 22, below value. Then in game 2, we have the father prime game. Wade goes for 45.25. Belly only 20.5. Flip to game 3. We head to Miami. Belly, another 35.5. Dwayne back to 22. And then in game 4, 36.5 for Dwayne. Only 17.5 for Marco Bellinelli. These guys have not hit their value in the same game all series have alternated between one or the other basically being the guy to roster. So if the pattern holds, you'll want Marco in your lineup on Tuesday. It's maybe there's no correlation here at all.
Interesting trend.
But I did look at it. Wade has struggled in the games coming off of 2 full days of rest, surprisingly for an older guy. And yeah, Bellinelli has not done in the done well in the games where they're coming off of only 1 day rest in between.
Okay,
so,
interesting.
I don't know if there's anything there, but I'm riding this trend. I'm rolling Belly on Tuesday.
The question for me is, does Kevin Hart show up courtside for this game? Because that could affect Wade's performance. Have to take in all factors.
That all could surrounding be a determining factor, too. And, of course, the if Josh Richardson were to miss this game, I would like Wade more. Marcus Smart is officially questionable
Right before we came down, yeah.
Yes. That could have some major ramifications. You'll definitely need to stay
tuned.
What
price is he at right now?
He's at $3,700.
Ooh. It's a thumb injury, so he's been running, too. His legs are under him.
Yeah, he should be fine in that respect. I mean, obviously, you're going to want to pay attention to, first of all, whether he's playing, then a possible minutes restriction, but
there shouldn't be a minutes restriction for a thumb
injury. I wouldn't
think
so.
For thumb injuries, there should be, a law. No minute restriction when you come back. You can run, you can bike, you can do all that stuff. You should be fine.
But if he does play, I highly doubt that he sees, because it's hypothetical that he even plays, I doubt he sees a price bump before tomorrow's contests are announced.
I gotta think he's guaranteed 25 minutes. Stevens is an idiot if he doesn't. And their bench is getting killed, too.
Yes.
Their bench is really bad.
They've really struggled.
Past 2 games, yeah.
And so at 3,700, he's almost a must play. For the minutes he's going to get, I mean, for how little he would need to make himself a value. My bigger question really is, who gets hurt more by this? Is it Terry Rozier or Jaylen Brown?
I think it's Brown, right? They play they're both shooting guards.
Yeah, but
I would point guard on the floor handling the ball.
Smart's played point guard. Could you bring him in and start him at point guard instead, though? And Brown, the way Brown is playing offensively, especially, I mean, they need somebody to score the basketball. I had the same thought initially that it was Brown, and then I started to kind of waffle on that.
I think Tatum I think they'd go Rozier, Brown, and Smart.
Ooh, interesting.
And then Tatum would get the out. But I think Smart would take shots away from Brown.
Oh, man.
I haven't been totally tuned into the Celtics, and it's been tough to follow their lineups, especially since Smart's been out, Kyrie's been out. I'm not sure they've had games where both Kyrie and...
No, they've had hardly any. They have run Jaylen and Smart a couple times
together
in the starting lineup back earlier in the season when Kyrie missed a couple.
Well, maybe Rozier does come off the bench because he kind of thrived in that earlier.
Which I would...
Would they trust Smart running the ball, though? That's a good point.
I would tend to think Rozier at 7,700, he'd still probably get close to 30 minutes, I think, but I don't know.
You think Rozier takes a bigger hit over Brown?
I do.
Okay.
I do. That's my feeling. The way that Brown has played in this series, the way that the Celtics need offense, not primary function for Marcus Smart when he's on the court.
Yeah.
So I don't think it completely kills Rozier, but at 7,700, I would probably fade him if Smart comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Might be definitely then a situation where maybe you look to get Chris Middleton in either your utility or your guard spot. Then finally rounding it out, Manu Ginobili. You've said this maybe for like the last 3 or 4 years, but this could be Manu's last game. You never know. 40 years old. Guy looks like he can still keep going, but whether he wants to or not remains to be seen. He hasn't said anything one way or the other. He's coming off his best game of the series.
Yeah, he was good that game. Really good.
But he's been a solid punt play in 3 of the 4 so far. He's had 20, 21, and 27 fan ball points. His price might jump up a couple hundred to like 34, 35, 36, but nothing that should stop you from rostering him. One of the best 3K options available. Small forward, Yanni. Got to have Yanni, right? He struggled, actually, from a fantasy perspective back in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I saw that.
Didn't break 43 fan ball points
in
either game.
Yeah.
No double-double. They got 2 wins. But the good news is he has dominated the Celtics in Boston this season. And maybe because of the 2 off games, we might get lucky enough to see his price drop a couple $100. Wouldn't count on it. He's at 12.2 as of right now. Very well could stay there, but would be nice. At the current price, we're looking for 61 fan ball points from the Greek Freak. He hasn't scored fewer than 57 in 4 games in the Garden this season.
Okay.
2 games of 57, a game of 65, and then 69 in game 1 of this series. I think you got to have him. I'm fading Kevin Durant at 11-7.
Got to, man. What is his deal?
You know,
the playoffs have been weird for him because when Curry was out with that ankle injury earlier in the season, he was dominating.
And it's not.
And then all of a sudden, he just.
I think we're being a little hard on him because he has.
Clay's heating up a little bit, though, too. I think Clay, the time off for Clay when Clay had his thumb injury, I think benefited him. Got his legs under him a little bit.
I agree with you. I was kind of digging into this today because, like, on a surface level and on even a stat level, when you dig a little deeper, like, it's hard to see what exactly, like, Kevin Durant has a higher usage level, and his numbers aren't. He's had 55, 46, 50, 49 fan ball points, so it's not like he's that far off from hitting his value. You know, he's 500 less than Giannis right now, but I think that's what you're keying into there with Clay, I think, is the difference, is there's just more options on Golden State to score the basketball than what Milwaukee has, you know, really past the series Bledsoe's having right now. It's really Middleton and Giannis who are kind of carrying the load offensively, and there are more places to distribute that load. You've had Iguodala's had a big game already. They had a really down offensive game in game four. They only scored 90 points, which is bizarre for them.
Yeah, I think they just kind of checked out. They're up 3-0.
I don't think it's to a point where Kevin Durant, you can't think about playing him, but I will be fading him yet again.
Yeah, same.
Rudy Gay continues to be a fantastic value at 5K. Been incredibly consistent. Three games with 29 or more fan ball points. His lowest of the series so far is 23, so he hasn't had a true dud. Averaging 35 minutes per game over the last three contests. 12.5 shot attempts per game, second to only LaMarcus Aldridge. Love the consistency he's bringing. I like Justice Winslow at 5,600 if and only if Josh Richardson is out. He's at 5,800. Richardson had the monster game four, 42 fan ball points. Questionable with a shoulder injury for game five, which I assume he sustained from swiping the ball so many times from Philadelphia. Seven steals
in
that game.
That's ridiculous, man.
Seven steals, 16 fan ball points off of blocks and steals. For that reason, I won't roster him even if he is playing. That's just not sustainable. However, if he does sit, that should open up Winslow for 30 or more minutes easily.
Yep, if Richardson sits, yeah.
Yeah, he had the big game three. Winslow obviously had the double-double, 44 fan ball points.
Mm-hmm.
But even if he was stroking it from three that game, 4 for 6.
Yeah, he was.
I think he's only shot 6 total threes outside of that game, so kind of weird. But game one, Winslow actually did play 31 minutes, scored 29 fan ball points. That's just one single point below what he needs to hit his to hit 5.5 times his value. So like Winslow, a lot of Richardson does sit. And like I said earlier, kind of changes the way I might feel about Dwayne Wade as well.
Mm-hmm.
Power forward, I'm fading the hell out of LaMarcus Aldridge at 10,000. I probably won't be alone here. So if you want to go out and make a contrarian play, his ownership probably will be low if you want to take the risk. He obviously had the fantastic game too, but he's been a disappointment otherwise. He's been at least 10 points below his value in every other game. I'm not saying he's checked out. I'm not saying, obviously, they fought hard to win the game four, but I'm not liking what he's bringing to the table at all at this price. Dario Saric at 65, I do like, however. He had a rough game four, still is carrying value with Embiid back. He showed that in game three, dropping 35 fan ball points. Ersan Ilyasova has seen a much more significant drain on his minutes, however. He's at 5,700. I'm not rostering him until his price comes down at least into the low five range.
Yeah, same. It's just high from Embiid being out.
Yeah.
Big minutes, big points, double-doubles. Yeah.
Exactly. Hasn't come back down from those first two games yet.
No.
James Johnson has been fantastic. Love him. Hit 5.5 times his value in each of his last three games. 34, 36, 42 fan ball points. 5 assists in each game. Seeing a minimum of 32 minutes on the court. Kelly Olynyk just got his minutes busted in game four. So love what James Johnson's bringing there. And then finally, if John Henson remains out, he's missed the last two games, then I like Thon Maker a lot. Great chance to be a value at just 3,900. He's played 24 minutes in game three, 31 minutes in game four, went for 32 and 22 fan ball points. Only thing slightly concerning is the blocks. He's had 5 blocks in each game, which is absolutely outrageous. You know, talking about the steals with Richardson, not sure how sustainable that is.
Yeah.
I went back and looked, you know, Maker had 20 games this season in which he had 20 minutes or more, and he only averaged 1.25 blocks in those contests.
Yeah.
So this is way above. However,
He's
got the length, and I don't know what the hell's up with Boston, but then I went back and looked at Henson. Henson had 6 blocks in game one. So they've had three games in this series where they've allowed a guy to have five blocks or more.
Let's see. Where do they rank among shots? Well, they probably, they're not that big of a team without Kyrie's such a great finisher at the rim.
Yeah, he
never
get
blocked
very often.
Losing Hayward, who's a bigger size. I mean, they're undersized pretty much for the most part. You got undersized smarts and undersized player. Yeah.
Got to take it to the basket more.
Yeah.
So
yeah, makes sense.
So maybe there is something.
If
Henson is cleared to play, he's a decent option. Obviously not nearly as good of a value. He's at 5,200 right now. He had 28 fan ball points in game one, 27 and a half in game two. Should see some decent run if he's back. At center, I'm fading both Joel Embiid and Al Horford. Embiid has been a difference maker on the court for Philly, but he just hasn't really done it from a fantasy perspective yet. Hasn't paid that off in either of the two contests he's been back in.
I think the mask is that's a tough thing to do, is transition to a mask, especially the type that he has.
Yeah, it's
wild looking. You've never ever seen that. At least I've never seen that in the NBA before, that type of mask, because the injury is so significant. But, I mean, it's got to be tough to, you know, shooting that constantly, and your vision's vision is limited in that thing for sure. So
I think
that's probably an adjustment.
And then the other part of it is Miami has a nice rotation of bigs that they can throw at them.
And they're a solid. Yeah, Miami's a good defensive team.
I've looked Embiid. He's played five games against Miami this season. Hasn't cracked 50 fan ball points in a single one of them, which is what he needs to hit his value. Needs 54. He's got two where he scored between 40 and 45, but never has cracked 50. He can throw Adebayo, they can throw Olynyk, they can throw Johnson, they can throw Whiteside at him. I just don't think he's going to be able to hit 5.5 times his value. Horford, since that tour de force in game one, he's been awful. 32, 34, 21 fan ball points, well below value. You don't really need to look much past the free throw attempts and rebounds for Horford in game one. Both outstanding. He had 14 free throw attempts, I think, in game one, 12 rebounds. And then since then, I think he's attempted 17 total free throws.
Jesus.
I'm tripping over my words here. If I've got this right, in game one, attempted 17 free throws, pulled down 12 boards. In the three games since, he's attempted 8 free throws and reeled in 17 total rebounds.
Wow.
That's not great. He's fifth on the team in usage in the playoffs. And while he does lead the Celtics in player impact estimate, it's just not translating into fantasy success.
It's not going to translate most times.
Hassan Whiteside. We've got a Hassan Whiteside spotting.
Finally,
he's alive.
God.
5,300 just in time. He got 26 minutes in game four. That's more than 10 more than he's seen in any other game so far in the series. Had 13 points, 13 rebounds, good for 33 fan ball points. I don't know if I trust Eric Spoelstra to give him that kind of time again, but maybe he realizes that to deal with Joel Embiid, if Miami's going to make some sort of epic comeback, they're going to need him on the court. Olynyk, like I said earlier, just played 9 minutes in game four. If you've kind of, I don't know how many people have kind of tuned the series out, think it's over. You might see some low ownership levels for Whiteside, who's been awful so far. If people are only just kind of following along at a high level, you might be able to kind of steal him without seeing a terribly high ownership percentage. I'm leaning highly towards playing him, though, on Tuesday.
Pulled up Horford's game log. So since game one, he's put up 2 free throws. So in game two, he went 2. Game three, he went 1. Game four, he went 5. And you're right on the rebounds. Game two, he had 5 rebounds. Game three, he had 3. And game four, he had 9.
Good Lord.
So you were right.
How many free throw attempts did he have in game one?
14.
14. Okay, so
and
I was off
he had
off
12
on that.
Boards.
So, dear God, yeah. He's had nearly as... oh, God.
He hasn't, yeah. He's had nearly as many rebounds. Well,
He had 5 more rebounds in 3 games than he did in all of game one.
Yep. And he had more rebounds. He's had way more free throw attempts.
Yeah.
In game one than he has in the past.
Nearly double.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's it for me on Tuesday. I'll give it away to JK for Wednesday.
All right, Wednesday. So Wednesday's a big slate, folks. We got 4 games going on Wednesday.
Might be the last time we see that.
Probably, yes. Probably for the April 25th. Yeah, it'll be the last.
Biggest slate we see for the rest of rest of the playoffs.
Washington, Toronto, Indiana, Cleveland, Minnesota, Houston, Utah, Oklahoma City, Minnesota and Houston as well as Utah and Oklahoma City are playing tonight, Monday, April 23rd, as we're taping this podcast. So I'm going to sprinkle in some thoughts on those guys there, but pay attention to tonight's box scores or tomorrow morning if you're at work looking at the box scores. Point guards, Russ, $12,800. This is one you're going to want to watch because Rubio went off for a triple-double against him in the loss. OKC loses. And Russ has been underwhelming in this so far in this series from a fantasy standpoint. He's failed to eclipse 70 fan ball points.
Especially in the fourth quarter. He's
been
brutal.
Yeah, he's been terrible. But the headline-grabbing quote from his press conference was that he was going to shut that shit down, and referring to Ricky Rubio. Yep. So he's got a big chip on his shoulder tonight. So see how I had a feeling he's going to be very angry Monday night and may even continue that into Wednesday night. But see how he responds Monday night. But, like I said, hasn't eclipsed 70 fan ball points yet. But I'm kind of leaning towards Wall on Wednesday.
He's been so good.
$11,100 at Toronto, and just the Wizards. I think I talked about it in the earlier podcast, but the Wizards playoff splits,
unreal,
are ridiculous. I still have it. If you want it, 2017 they were 6-0 at home and 1-6 on the road. 2018 they're 2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. Wall was sensational at home, going for 28, 27 points, 14 assists both times, and he went for 63 and 68 fan ball points. He needs 61 of fan ball points to be 5.5 times value for your rosters.
He
went for 63 and 49 in Toronto. Game two was easily his worst game so far in the series. He's second in the league in usage during the playoffs at 34.5%, trailing only James Harden. So I like Wall, even though he had one bad game in Toronto, but he's really cooking right now, especially getting that momentum going at home, 63 and 68. He was chirping a little bit too at Drake. I guess apparently when Washington left Toronto, Drake said goodbye to him. You know, he wasn't going to see him again because the Raptors were going to sweep him. Wall, I'm sure, will have some words for Drake in this game, game five in Toronto.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm with you there. At nearly 2,000 cheaper. I do like Russell on Monday, but...
Yeah.
But John Wall, man, he's exposing Kyle Lowry right now.
Oh, man, big time.
I mean, he's getting to the rim basically Wall's at will.
Just so much more faster than him, dude. Oh, so God. Much more faster.
I mean, getting to the rim.
Not even close.
I don't know what adjustment Toronto can make to stop him there. I'm with you.
14 assists both times and games at home, too. So other guys are making shots. I think that's key, too. DeLon Wright, Toronto, at home, $4,600. Van Vliet's doubtful now for Thursday. Report came out today. It's a shooting shoulder. It's bruised, and he just can't get it right. I would be surprised if he played, but just make sure that he's out. They miss him after being one of the top benches all season. The Raptors in the playoffs so far have a net rating. Their bench has a net rating of -15. That's the worst in the league. Boston's right behind.
One of the big storylines of the playoffs
for sure. Wright has been okay from a fantasy standpoint. He had a brutal game three. He had a so-so game four. But back at home, he had 26 and 33 fan ball points in game one and game two. Both were above his 5.5 value of 25 fan ball points. So I like him to rebound better, bounce back at home. I'm going to avoid CP3 or Teague in that Houston's Minnesota matchup. Both of those guys have been undervalued. Teague may have hit it just once, but just barely, or a point under. I like actually Jose Calderon at home, $3,300 as a punt play point guard. If Hill sits, he'll miss game four. Calderon played 19 minutes. He only had 10.5 fan ball points, but Korver really was cooking with 18. Calderon, I think, plays a little bit better at home as well in that Cleveland crowd.
What'd you think about Clarkson?
I liked him. He had a really nice game four, but doesn't do enough like rebounds, assist. Just he's a scorer.
Yeah,
he's a pure scorer. Doesn't pass the ball. You know what I mean? He just takes it to the rim or takes a shot. He doesn't pass it. He'll rebound occasionally, but he's got some steals. But
that's true.
He doesn't do enough for me. I looked at it. I'd much rather – I'm going to get into it here. I'd much rather Kyle Korver tomorrow – or, excuse me, Wednesday than I would Clarkson.
Very good.
James Harden, $12,000. We're moving into shooting guards now. $12,500 versus Minnesota. Harden hasn't played great in this series. He dropped 44 points in game one, but still fell 3 fan ball points shy of his value of 68. They play tonight against Minnesota – in Minnesota. So if they win tonight in Minnesota, then Wednesday's game would be to close out the series at home. I would actually like Harden in that scenario at home to close out the series. But let's see how tonight plays out and see what he does. But Butler's tough defensively, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Butler, he is an interesting. He fell $2,000.
I know.
Down to $8,100.
I know. Love him on Monday.
See where his price, yes, I like him tonight, but see where his price is at Wednesday. If he has a great game.
Could rubber band right back up.
Yeah, kick a rubber band, but not to all the way up to 10. He was at 10-1. I don't think it'll go up to that high, but I got a feeling it's going to go up. It's not going to be $8,100. No, don't think it will
be. If he drops 40-50 again tonight, he could easily be back up to 9.
Yep. Donovan Mitchell, $8,900. This will be at Oklahoma City. Had a double-double in Game 3. Fell just 2 fan ball points shy of his value of 48 fan ball points. Even with Rubio's triple-double in that game, he still led the Jazz in usage at 31%. Mitchell has scored at least 22 points in every game so far and has attempted at least 20 shots in this series. So I love Mitchell here, $8,900 at OKC. Like I talked about, check Butler's status, his cost. Wiggins, no way. Don't like Wiggins.
Dear God, no.
So this is an interesting one. Me and Aaron were just talking about it when we came down. DeMar DeRozan, $8,900 versus Washington. If he creeps above 9K for game, I don't think he will. But if he does creep above 9K for game 5, I'm not sure I would recommend him. But if he stays at $8,900, I actually like him. He's gone 2-for-4 in terms of being overvalued in this series, including the last game 4 loss in Washington. This game to me has the feel of a Toronto takeover Wednesday night back at home, where they're considerably better at home than on the road. And then we were just talking about unfortunate, sad news in the world. There was an attack in Toronto. They don't know what if it's a terrorist attack or what, but some guy plowed through a crowd of people in Toronto, killed 9 people in a rental van, 16 injured. It'll be in Toronto. It'll be an emotional night. I guarantee you they have a moment of silence. It's been rough for Canada the past 3 weeks with the hockey school bus tipping over and losing all those kids. And then this. Yeah. DeRozan has obviously played on the Raptors his entire career. Very much loved by that fan base. I wouldn't be surprised if he just has a little bit more elevation to his game tonight. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, well, first and foremost, thoughts and prayers to the family of those affected by that tragedy. I just was informed of that before we came on. It's terrible to hear. No words really to describe the sorrow you feel for those people, those families. To the basketball end, I think absolutely DeRozan. This feels like a game Toronto's got to have.
They got to have it.
They've got to have this game 5. And yeah, it will probably be an emotional. Sports are a way that we try to help to cope with things. Moments like this show you how small sports really are, but they are a way that we help to band together and to help cope with some of these very tough things that come up in life. I would agree with you.
Yeah, news, awful news. It will be an emotional night in that building, no doubt. I know we're usually down on DeRozan and Lowry, but if I had a choice, I would definitely play DeRozan over Lowry in a heartbeat, without 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, outside factors, just where the series is right now, and he's to his credit, DeRozan has played better than I anticipated to this point. And like you said, shoots better at home. As a team, they're much better at home. I like that call.
He's shooting 39% from 3 in this series. He was 31% during the regular season. So he's making he's not taking too many more. He's taking 6-4, but still making more than he's missing. Bradley Beal, way better at home than he is on the road. If game 6, give me Beal, but game 5, I'm fading him. He had 16 and 33 fan ball points at Toronto versus 40 and 45 at home. Oladipo, he's only been above his value once. That was game 1 in Cleveland, which has been surprising since the Cavs have struggled to defend shooting guards all season. Last 2 games, he's shooting 10 for 35 in this series. You can chalk it up to 2 bad games at home, but he could be due to bounce back in this game. Remember, game 1 was in Cleveland, so that's where he had his above-value performance against the Cavs. But surprisingly, the Cavs have been a better defensive team in this defensive series. Indiana's number 1 defensively overall in the playoffs. Cleveland's number 3 overall in the playoffs.
This has been a defensive series.
If you had said that, I would have said you're dead wrong. But
no, but I think the Cavs, we talked about this a little earlier, they've kind of slanted their defense. They're going to say, make somebody other than Victor
Oladipo. They're collapsing in the paint so hard when Oladipo drives now. Yes. Yeah, and they're kicking it out. They don't have a ton of great three-point shooting. when Bogdanovich gets shooting, he can shoot it.
Obviously, you saw but that in game
Lance
three,
is like, yeah, Collison. Yeah, Collison's been better actually too.
He's percentage wise, he's great, but he doesn't. Like, they keep bringing up he's a 48%
yes,
shooter
in the
three,
broadcast. Yeah,
and it's like he doesn't shoot that many threes though.
Yeah,
like that's the thing. So.
What do you hold on? Let me get off topic. How brutal is Weber and who's he calling the game?
Christ.
Fratello?
Yes, it's just
they're
so
they're
bad.
So. Oh, no, it's Marv Albert. It's Marv Albert
what
and Weber.
What the hell? Is Marv Albert lost it?
Like,
he
I
has
think
so
he
many
has.
Calls that are just
he's like,
outright
oh,
wrong.
Out of bounds. He's like, out of bounds. Cleveland ball. He's like, oh, no, it's a foul. Like,
he's
did that at least a dozen times in this series so far.
Really bad.
Like, I can't tell if he's just lost it or I don't know what it is.
He's not dialed in. I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't it weird that he's like, he keeps, I'm like, what is Marv talking about? It's a foul.
Yeah.
He's like, no, ball out of bounds. Or like, turnover. And then he's like, oh, no, wait.
There's been so many of those moments where it's just like, you're
and
watching
thing,
on TV
and
I'm
that
like,
last,
no.
That last,
no.
That last tangle with Green and Lance.
Yep, they got
Weber
that
was like, oh, this is Lance. They're getting Lance is getting a free throw. And then Green's lining up and the crowd's booing. And Weber's explaining that Indiana's getting a free throw, and you're like, wait, no, they're not. The crowd is booing like hell. Like, I can hear them loud.
And then even they're like, oh, no, Jeff Green's going to shoot free throws, and then there's going to be a jump ball.
Yeah.
And
it's
just
like,
oh, my
yeah.
God, guys.
That was
get
just,
it together.
I know. That was pretty brutal. That was an off-topic rant. We're going to get back to Wednesday. Shooting guards, I know.
It had
Weber,
to be
stick
said.
To all of
it
had to be said. It had to be said. Corey Brewer, $3,900 versus Utah. He's performed slightly above his value in the last two games in the series so far, and he's played at least 28 minutes in every game this series. Kyle Culver, I mentioned him earlier, was big in game four. Absolutely massive to steal a game on the road, keep home court advantage with the Cavs. He needs 17 fan ball points to be of value at $3,100, and he scored 18 points. So he added some gravy with a couple rebounds, steals, and assists. He had finished with 27 fan ball points, so that extra... Those extra 10 fan ball points right there were key. Since moving to the starting lineup, he's played at least 20 minutes as well.
Feels like, especially with game four, he's starting to get back into his groove a little bit. We've talked
big
about
shots,
it.
Too. He hasn't had a lot of big shots in a Cavs uniform in playoffs, and I think that was big for his confidence.
That shot he hit in the fourth quarter on the move,
yes.
I mean, he barely
yes.
caught the ball.
On the top of just
yes.
off the top of the key.
Just
yeah,
top
the
left. Yep.
Yeah, that was big. Yeah, he can catch it and shoot it so quick. That's what's great about it.
Unreal.
You just need to give him like a hair of separation. He can get it. Yeah, he's
feels
great
like
at
this
that.
Could be an igniter for him.
Yeah,
but
and the rest
it.
Of the bench too. I think Clarkson too has been better. Yeah. I think the rest of the supporting cast should say. Hopefully, Love comes around. Fading Paul George in this OKC Utah matchup. His best game was Game One, and he fell 3 fan ball points shy of his value. But he hasn't even come close to that since his game. I mean, watch it tonight, see what happens tonight again. But I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you don't.
He's at $8,900.
Jay Crowder is irrelevant from a fantasy standpoint, but he's a big part of what they do and shutting them down.
Yep.
And he got in foul trouble in game two. Or was it game? No, it was game two. But even Joe Ingles, I mean, he Joe Ingles, other than game three, has not put out much offensively, and it's because he's all his efforts going into helping to slow Paul George. They've done a good job.
Jingling Joe. $4,900 at OKC. Watch him tonight. I would just say watch him tonight.
I agree.
He went off for 21 points in game three. He had finished with 32 fan ball points. He's played at least 30 minutes so far in every game this series, like Aaron just talked about. He's helping out on the defensive end, trying to slow down Paul George. Lance was the highlight reel of the night, providing NBA fans with glorious videos all night on Sunday. Some fantastic moments. And some not-so-great moments where he forgot to dribble the ball up the court when walking up the court.
Too busy yelling it.
That was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. He was above value in their Game 4 loss, recording 26 fan ball points. He only needed 22. And so I think there's been a little bit of chirping, especially LeBron's press conference referencing it to visiting the principal's office about getting the technical glitz, Lance. There's just a rivalry that will continue to bring out the best of Lance.
Game 4
plays
was
hard.
Microcosm of his entire career.
Yeah.
Just those great moments, those kind of hustle plays, whatever it might be, sort of intangible things, getting LeBron to commit the tech, and then just the bonehead things.
Yes,
the travel. The extra, he's got the tie up with Jeff Green there at the end,
yeah,
and then he pulls the...
He pulls him down by the head. Yeah, that was not good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Lance for you. You got to take the good with the bad.
Exactly. LeBron will be the most expensive player on Wednesday night. He's at $13,000 at home. What can you say about the numbers he's putting up? He's had at least 61 fan ball points in this series. Being the most expensive player, though, he needs 71 fan ball points, something he's done once in this series. He's leading the Cavs in usage. You don't need me to tell you that. But the ownership numbers are high there. That's my only – everyone's going to have him. Are you dumb to – we've kind of experimented in our eternal contest when Davis was playing and when mm-hmm. LeBron's been playing, fading him. And it's worked out to our advantage a little bit here and there.
And I think because this is one and of the last times –
and this is the deepest slate – will yeah. probably be the deepest slate that you'll see it again. You may be able to create a really good lineup without him in it.
I think this is one of those times you try to do it.
And it's 13,000. It's a lot.
And he needs so much to make it a
71,
value.
Yeah.
You'll have more chances to play him. Don't worry about it. I would strongly consider in this deep field fading LeBron.
Yeah. Power forwards. This is a really shallow group here, folks. Thad Young, $5,700 against Cleveland. Great game four. Double-double, 43 fan ball points. He attempted 12 shots in game four, most he's recorded in a game this series. I think he continues to be aggressive in this series, goes right at Cleveland.
Need him to be, yep.
Serge Ibaka, $6,200. He could be another Toronto guy that plays better at home. He went for 45 and 30 at home versus the Wiz, where he was significantly under in games three and four. Again, I just have a feeling he could be one of the better performers for Toronto. Derek Favors, watch him tonight. Not crazy about him. He had a fantastic game two and an ugly game three fantasy-wise. See how he performs tonight.
I'm with you there. It's power forward is so brutal. I mean, you look at Mondays, it's like, if you don't, there's nobody to even pay up for tonight. It's like, do you go with Carmelo? Do you go with Favors? Like, oof.
It's a rough. I would really suggest that at Thad Young. Jeff Green, $3,800. Was 1 point above value, but that's a roll of the dice too, though. If he gets in foul trouble or doesn't shoot it well, Lou will yank him out. Not touching Steven Adams. Fade Steven Adams. He's been not very good. Hasn't scored double digits the past two games. Very underwhelming for Steven Adams. Big Cat. I'm going to fade Big Cat as well.
Yep.
Underwhelming. Even though he had a double-double in game three, did not come close to reaching his value. Fell about 8 to 10 points short. Capella's just too tough defensively.
Well, there's that.
Butler.
Stat today. Teague and Wiggins run so many damn ISOs, and neither of them are that good in ISOs. They're middle of the road at best.
Wiggins has gotten better, but yeah, Teague shouldn't be doing ISOs. Come on. Wiggins at least has a little bit more talent and skill and younger to do that. Yeah, but Teague, I don't know what he's doing.
Part of it, I know the first two games were on Towns, but I mean, Jesus, you wonder, we're saying, why aren't they feeding the ball? And it's because those two are running so many damn isolations. Yeah,
I agree. Clint Capella, $7,800 versus Minnesota. Went for 31 and 50 at home in games one and two. He's played 27 minutes in each game so far. Watch what he does tonight, but he's been grabbing, I think, two out of three games he's grabbed double-digit rebounds so far, so I look for that to continue tonight. Rudy Gobert. I was down on Gobert early in the season. Coming into the series, I was thinking, I'm not going to play Adams or Gobert at all. But I'm coming around. After a dud game one, Gobert's gone for 42 and 48 fan ball points, double-doubles, needs 45 to be of value. And Adams has struggled defending him. He's gotten into some foul trouble or has allowed Gobert to get to the charity stripe. He's attempted 8 and 12 free throws in games two and three, while only attempting 6 in game one. So Gobert is showing you that he's being aggressive, taking Adams to the hole, getting to the free throw line. Valanciunas, I'm going to fade him too. He's yet to play 25 minutes in this series. Saw his price jump up $600 after his huge game two performance. Maybe if that he's at $6,600. Maybe if that comes down a little bit, but
that's too much.
He hasn't played 20 yet. He has yet to play 25 minutes. I know in that game he had 20 minutes. He had 19 and 12. He has those crazy games where he won't play a ton of minutes, but he'll go nuts.
Yep.
But it's just
not similar. We've seen it from a lot of JaVale McGee's had those games where it's like he plays 18 minutes, but he gets 10 points, 7 rebounds, where they're just highly, highly efficient. But God,
it's at home, so maybe he does better at home, but. Roll the dice if you're going to go with Valanciunas. I don't like him at his price. If his price comes down, maybe.
I would agree with you.
That'll wrap up Wednesday slate.
Tuesday, Wednesday. All right, we'll be back. We'll give you a little Thursday, Friday breakdown later this week. Good luck in your contests on FanBall. Hope you win some cash. The season is winding down.
Yes.
Chances are running out, but stick with us, and we'll see you again on Thursday.
Yeah, make that money, folks. We'll see you soon.